This episode of Tep and Step is presented by CoverZero Analytics, the leaders in next-level football data. CoverZero delivers predictive matchup previews, classification-based grading, and customized analysis to football coaches who want more than the same old breakdown of tendencies. With CoverZero, football coaches now have a tool that can measure all aspects of their team's performance. CoverZero is built entirely around smarter data analysis, helping thousands of coaches find winning edges that don't always appear in film study. If you're a football coach looking for an extra advantage, CoverZero invites you to join the hundreds of premier programs that have taken their scouting intel to the next level. Ready to see how the best teams win? Start with CoverZero Analytics. Find out more at CoverZeroAnalytics.com. That's CoverZeroAnalytics.com.
How do you feel about daylight savings time and like falling back?
I used to like it, and then I had kids.
I still like it because my kids are grown.
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I am the Step, Matt Step.
Don't sound so excited about being the Step, Matt Step.
I'm conserving myself because the playoffs are right around the corner.
The playoffs
Listen, I'm old VNA, so when you're old, you have to kind of pick and choose your spots.
You only have a select amount of energy. Yeah. And where are you getting your energy from? Yeah, as a great man once
a great man did want to say that.
Choose
your energy.
Choose energy. This is your week 11 preview edition of Tep and Step. The final regular season preview edition of Tep and Step. Those other dulcet tones you hear belong to our courageous producer, V&A Moreno. Hello, V&A Moreno.
Hi, guys.
The lovely and talented.
The lovely and talented V&A Moreno. Hello, the brains of the operation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brains.
We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber, or not, if you're watching this on Freeloader Friday.
Don't call them freeloaders.
Well, they could be paying us money to listen to this podcast. Is this a good sales pitch? Am I good at sales? I don't
know. Scoops when you need them. You
know. I'm poor marketing.
Listen, Mrs. Step needs Chris's money, so we would like for you to subscribe.
I will say this. Between snapshot day and between playoffs and between state and then eventually wrapping around a realignment.
There's about not a better time to subscribe.
Pretty good time to become a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. TexasFootball.com/subscribe.
We would appreciate it.
Come up here in a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of Week 10 recap, including what we did on our Week 10 vacation.
As my wife called it, our mandate.
Our mandate.
Yeah.
Aww.
We'll recap that. And then we'll have our Week 11 game draft. It's not the final one because we do playoff game drafts.
Yeah,
as well.
We do playoff game drafts until regional final.
Regional final. Yeah.
Yeah. Regional.
Then we do all 20.
State semifinals.
State semifinals.
Yeah.
And then semifinals we preview all 20 games because we're sick.
Yeah.
But sick first, ones. Matthew, we will start as we always do with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented by CoverZero Analytics. It's not just a pretty logo. It is a pretty logo.
It's a cool logo.
But it's not just a pretty logo. They are also numbers people. If you go and you ask them, what are the numbers? They'll be like, let me tell you something, buddy. You've never seen numbers like this.
I saw Jacob McNeil Saturday at the Waller's High Springs game. He shoved me up against the wall with the scruff of my neck and was like, just wait till the playoffs come. You think you've seen numbers and spreadsheets and pivot tables now?
Mm-mm.
You listen here, buddy.
You don't even know.
No. 2 weeks, the pain is coming. I'm like, okay, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. It's CoverZero Analytics. It'll help take your team to the next level. They have got all sorts of trend line numbers and the stuff that will help you take your team to the next level.
Yeah.
It's CoverZeroAnalytics.com. Let them explain it to you better than we can.
Yeah. We're a couple of idiots. Don't listen to us.
We have a vague grasp of it. They've got a firm grasp at CoverZeroAnalytics.com. It's CoverZeroAnalytics.com. Yeah. Go support our friends there. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. The playoffs are right around the corner. Playoffs are right around the corner. And perhaps you know that the team that has made the playoffs the most times in UIL 11-man football is the Highland Park Scots.
Yeah.
They are They've clinched a playoff spot, right? I'm not.
I believe the Scots have.
Okay. I don't want to speak. I haven't checked in on that district.
It's a three-way tiebreaker. Max out loss.
Possible.
I've got all that floating in my head right
now. They will next week they will make their 67th playoff appearance. But Matt Stepp,
2 away from 69.
Wow.
They are not the team that has won the most playoff games. Mm. Matt Stepp, what UIL 11-man Texas high school football team has the most playoff wins?
Is it Refugio?
That's why they pay him the big bucks.
Oh, let's freaking go.
The Refugio Bobcats have won 145 playoff games and counting. they are second in playoff appearances, by the way. They have made they will be making their 52nd trip to the postseason. But yes, they have won 145 games, followed by Mart, 139.
Temple and
then
and Amarillo.
And then a tie at third place between two teams that could be in a neck and neck race. The Katy Tigers have won 132, as have the Southlake Carroll Dragons.
Oh, okay, okay.
So who will finish ahead at the end of the season?
I'm sure Riley Dodge is like, I gotta pass Katy.
That's his number one goal.
Yeah, that's what he's worried about.
Only thing he's worried about is having more career playoff wins than,
by the way,
Katy Tigers.
I got their first round playoff info on my phone. Thursday night. Thursday, November 14th, 7 o'clock, Dragon Stadium.
He is already locked in. There it is, your Texas High School football fun fact
this
of the
guy.
Week. All right. A little bit of week 10 cleanup.
Sure.
Across the state, I thought that it was a unique group of results because most of the time, the team wearing the crown kept the crown.
Yes.
North Shore kept the crown against CE King.
Mm-hmm.
P&G kept the crown against Montgomery, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one that I was looking at? Munster kept the crown against Collinsville, right?
Yes.
Most of the time. But not all the time.
No.
Because I would tell you, there were two results that when they came across my desk, this desk, on Friday night, they shocked me. One was what Waco U did to Brenham.
Yes, that was the one that caught my attention Friday when I was watching the end of the game. I saw that result come through, and I was like, whoa.
How concerned are we about Brenham?
Very concerned. They have not looked good really since early in this. Like, the Gilmer game was really the last time they really looked good. Like, at first I thought maybe it was a Killeen thing, cause they beat Killeen High by 2, and Killeen High, all due respect, they're a struggling 6A. They struggled with Killeen Ellison 2 weeks ago, and then last week they just get drilled by Waco University.
Maybe
we should be giving more credit to Charles Foster and the University Trojans instead of saying what's wrong with Brenham. Maybe it's more about what's right with Waco University.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are supremely talented, and they're doing this without one of their better defensive players got lost for the year right at the end of non-district. The big D end, I think he's committed to Arizona State. Great looking kid. But there's a lot of talent there at University. Mm-hmm. They are for real. Now, they don't have the playoff pedigree. Now, they've been in the playoffs, but they haven't won playoff games, so that's going to be the question going forward for them. But they've wrapped up the number one seed. They're going to get a home playoff game, and that's a long road trip for either Texas City or Fort Bend Marshall in the first round.
Mm-hmm. The other one that caught my eye that I went, Wheeler 13, Wellington 0.
The Sky Raid got grounded.
Let me tell you something. That's another example of, like, there's going to be a tendency to be like, what's wrong with Wellington? I think I'm in on Wheeler. I think that team is awesome.
The defense is legit.
Yeah.
And when you play great. Now, they're in Region 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who lives in Region 2 and 2A Division 2.
We are aware. Yeah.
The defending state champs,
the Munster Hornets.
Amongst other teams. So, you know, but when you have defense that doesn't allow any points, that seems to bode for victory. So I think that's a bold strategy to hold them to zero. But hey, if you can get it done, have at it.
Before we get to our mandate, do you got any other results from Friday night or I suppose Thursday or Saturday that really sprung out to you?
I'll say this. There was a winner go home game, kind of. I mean, there's still a regular season, but Tyler Chapel Hill was struggling. They had lost 3 out of their last 4 games, and they were on the brink of missing the playoffs. Jeff Reardon's ball club got it together, rolled past Henderson 56-28. They're in the dance.
DeMarcian Blalock went nuts in that game.
Maybe the most dangerous four seed in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. Like Chapel Hill has made semifinal runs as a four seed. So now that they're in, they just seem to hit a different level. So that caught my attention. Staying out east, how about Mount Pleasant? Big win for them on the road at Nacogdoches. We were talking off air. Mount Pleasant might be the best 3-6 team in the state of Texas. It's weird to say.
What a weird claim. But
look at their record. They might be. So, you know, and then, you know, Houston Springwoods down there in Houston, knocking off Sterling, keeping their playoff hopes alive. It'll be a huge deal for them to make the playoffs. So I don't know if they've ever made the playoffs. They may not.
Well, that's a great question.
So, you know, there's some interest. There was a few interest. There was no seismic results. Just a lot of like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
The brackets start, you know, I worked on 6A and 5A projections last night, and things are starting to come into focus, and we'll talk about it at the end of the show, I'm sure, but we'll have brackets ready here pretty soon.
Four more real quick hitters. Prosper Walnut Grove beats Melissa, and you then think that they could keep building the whole plane on Cam Newton, and yet they're just going to keep building the whole plane on Cam Newton.
Listen, Cam Newton is proof. I mean, every week they just can't keep doing it, can they?
Can't well,
they
keep can. Getting away with it.
They keep doing it, y'all. And so, Cam, shout out to the ATs at Walnut Grove for I mean, because he's got to be, you know, beat up and bruised up. I mean, he's lots of heavy workload. So they're getting him ready to go, and he's probably spending a lot of time in the ice bath. And, you know, heaven forbid, you know, if you put one of us out there, one hit, and we're like, oh, gosh.
It's over.
Advil, Motrin right now. Just get me out of here. So he credit to him in Walnut Grove.
You were at the game of the week, North Forney and Longview. Turned out to be insane.
It was an insane game, it was crazy. Game of runs. Yeah. Usually football is not a game of runs. This was a football game of runs.
Yeah, North Forney was down in the third quarter and then rattled off 28 straight.
A couple of onside kicks. The box score is the weirdest thing. You look at the box score and Longview's throwing for 300-plus yards and 5 touchdowns, and you're like, what world are we, what alternate universe are we living in here? But you know, that was kind of credit to Legend Bay, Corday Woodard, and Marcus Shaver's ball club for getting it done. Now they got to take care of business against Rockwall. And Longview is going to be the number 2 seed. I think it's pretty much done. They're the number 2 seed in Division 2. So we could be looking at Longview DeSoto in the second round of the playoffs.
Noteworthy.
Yeah, spicy.
LaPorte beats Angleton. Turns out Angleton's pretty wounded. Bryce Duran did not play in this game. I don't think Wesley Jackson played.
He didn't play either. Now, you know, the Jammers got going.
Angleton.
Kaysen and Caden Jammer got going there. Opening kickoff return for touchdown. Those guys made plays. The score, Angleton made a late rally to do a little window dressing, but that was a 3-score game in the fourth quarter. Angleton's just so beat up right now, and I don't know if they're going to be able to get it together with just the amount of injuries they have. But credit to LaPorte. They came out and took care of business like a state title contender does.
And finally, game we were watching on the sidelines of the game we're about to talk about, PSJA North 19, Corpus Christi Flower Bluff 10. I'll say this. Ethan Guerra sounds like might be done for the year.
Pretty sure. I mean, maybe there's a slight hope he gets back if they make a deep enough run, but I would not expect him back this year. Unfortunately, it's sad. He's had a great career.
Yeah.
You know, he's been playing since he was a freshman. I feel like Ethan Guerra is 26 years old, but he's not. He's a senior in high school.
Yeah.
But PPR.
That defense,
They are physical. They will strike you. And they came and they play with a nastiness, not like dirt. They're not dirty.
No.
But they play old school. They run the football well, and it wasn't pretty on offense. And it was kind of an ugly game. A lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers. But PSJ North likes that. They'll drag you into the mud and say, here we go.
Yeah, they're comfortable there.
Yeah. So credit to Coach Kaufman and PPR and so.
All right.
The first coach we've ever called live on Tep and Step, Marcus Kaufman.
Hey, listen, they're 1-0 now. They're 1-0.
Yeah, I think maybe we should call them again.
I think coaches are going to start begging for you to call them on the air. Finally, Matthew, let's talk about the game that we went to and really the trip we had, because you and I got on the road on Thursday.
We did.
And we headed west.
West of Fort Worth.
We went to Santo. To the little tiny hamlet of Santo.
It is a small town.
Population 315.
Yes. So we stopped in Mineral Wells first. Mm-hmm. We had a pregame meal with Cody Worrell, the head coach there at Mineral Wells. We ate. First off, let's tell us about it's not a rogue Dairy Queen. It's just a Dairy Queen that's been that's been owned by the same family for 70 plus years, I think.
And they do things a little differently.
Because they're grandfathered in, so they don't have to follow all the corporate rules of corporate America. Mm-hmm. They can kind of do their own thing, and they do.
They had I had the onion rings, which were which famous. Had the ice cream in the batter.
Wow!
Irresponsible, but excellent.
Yeah,
very, very good. They got like a special burger. World ordered like
chili cheese Frito burger.
Yeah, exactly right.
It was good. I got a little piece of it.
It was good.
And then I had I had Dairy Queen taco.
Dairy Queen taco.
Because I knew we were having barbecue at the game, so I was like, I don't want to eat a burger. So I got a taco because they do have so like most Dairy Queens, you get a taco if you're a sicko like me.
Mm-hmm.
You get a taco, they give you the little packet of taco sauce, right?
Yeah.
Well, this Dairy Queen, they make their own salsa fresh, homemade. So they have a little cup of homemade salsa that I showed on my TikTok, and it's very good.
I love that.
It's a great time. Good to catch up with Cody Worrell. They got a big game this week against Burke.
They do. We're chopping it up about Snapshot Day. Yeah. He was peppering me with questions that I could not answer. I don't know what listen, guys. I don't know what the cutoff numbers are.
No. I we can speculate wildly if you'd like.
I will wildly speculate if you'd like. And I'm sure Jamie Harrison and Ray Zepeda will be like, okay, well, let's just change it by five just to make Step look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. So. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
It was then from there, it was another 20 minutes to Santo. Showed up at Wildcat Stadium.
Lewis Field. We saw some deer crossing the road as we were driving out there. Tepper commented how pretty it was.
It's very pretty out there. Out there. Yeah. There's a railroad that goes right by the field and like right at kickoff.
The train came by.
Yeah. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Good crowd. I would say, it's Lindsay and Santo.
Yeah, yeah.
And so two towns probably with a combined population of 1,000.
Probably, yeah.
And there were probably like 600 or 700 people at this game.
So we pulled up and we were a little concerned because we saw two ladies standing right at the entrance of the stadium that were charging. We thought they were charging to park. Well, no, you pay those ladies to get into the stadium.
Yes.
And because what happens is a lot of people will just park their cars on the side of the stadium and we're watching from their cars.
There was an awesome tailgate going on the Lindsay side, like just beyond the fence, that they just had a table set up. They had a crock pot.
You were talking, what did they have in the crock pot?
I think it was chili.
Okay.
I think they had chili going.
It was kind of a cold night.
Nice. So. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great little stadium. They just got turf, which is a big deal for them. We were talking with Devin Mann about that, about how like the community kind of rallied together to raise money for the turf.
Yeah, they had some water restrictions and they couldn't play home games. They couldn't water the fields. So they didn't move home games.
But it's a gorgeous, gorgeous stadium.
Yeah, nice little town. And then we had a barbecue at halftime. Coach Mann's brother made
barbecue for us. And it was awesome. It was
very good. Me, Tepper, and Brandon McAuliffe ate in a shout out to Brandon McAuliffe from Big Country Preps. Also Dave Campbell's contributing photographer. We ate an irresponsible amount of barbecue.
It's great.
And then one of the funniest things we had, we're sitting there in the second quarter, and the PA guys talking about the band raffle.
Like change of possession, yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about there's a raffle, you know, the band raffle, and that's pretty common. You know, you need the band's raffle.
Raising money. Because here's the thing. Santo's band has made state, like, they were talking about it.
I think they were going to state here this week.
They're going to state. It's like the eighth or ninth time in a row. Like, they're a band powerhouse.
And so we're listening to the PA guy talk about what's being raffled off. We're thinking they're raffling off, like, maybe a TV or some shirts or, you know, a gift card to, you know, a grocery store or Walmart or something. And like, yeah, we're raffling off 1,000 pounds of deer corn, a $500 taxidermy gift card, and a deer blind.
Yes, a deer blind. And so Matt Stepp went looking.
Yes.
To see, because he ran, is like, I have to enter this raffle.
Yes, yeah.
Did you enter it?
No, I did not. I didn't have any cash on me.
You sent me a photo, and I think the text you sent me was, this is a nice looking deer blind.
I mean,
do we have the image here?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. There it is.
Yeah, there's the deer blind that was raffled off.
$20. $20. Now I gotta be honest. I am in no position to tell you if that's a nice deer blind.
You're from Coppell. I'm from Everman. We do not know about
it. No.
So you texted the picture to Pickle, who's from Lano, who knows way more about deer blinds than us. She approved. And then Mike Craven, who probably is our deer blind expert, because I think Mike Craven actually has been deer hunting. And he confirmed that as a nice deer blind.
Yes.
Wow.
So we are idiots. And then Tepper mentioned that he was gonna get in on the deer corn, but he wasn't sure how he was gonna get it home and how he was gonna explain.
I only have room in my garage for 600 pounds of deer corn. The 1,000 pounds is gonna be too much.
Deer corn.
Did you check to see if your wife knew what deer corn was?
I did, and she didn't.
Okay.
But it was a great time.
It was the most 2A Texas football.
It was
football
great.
Experience.
That's amazing.
And Lindsay got the win.
Yes.
Lane Foster, their quarterback and defensive back.
2A quarterback of the week this week?
2A quarterback of the week. You and I, like, were on the sideline, and I turned to you. I was like, Yeah, might have that dog in him.
He did. So congrats to him. Congrats to Lindsay. And thanks to Coach Mann and the entire community of Santo
for having us.
And thanks to Coach Worrell at Mineral Wells for buying our Dairy Queen.
And Coach Jones for doing the interview with me afterwards. Got to meet his family. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Good time. So anyway, Lindsay and Santo. Thumbs up. The Teppan Step seal of approval for both Santo and Lindsay.
Yay.
Go to a game in Santo.
That's right. If you get Teppan Step on the road together.
We're working for the Santo Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yeah, I don't think they have one of those.
But. It's now time for our week 11 game draft. If this is your first episode of Teppan Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I go back and forth selecting games that we are
most interested in.
I'm glad we rehearsed.
You beat me to it.
So last week, you could have taken
Reagan County 38, Colorado City 14.
You don't count out those owls.
No.
You don't count out those owls. And this week, you could hypothetically take
Maud versus Lyndon Kildare.
You could. All you got to do is sell
Maud
us
Cardinals.
On it.
Maud?
Maud, M-A-U-D.
Yeah, near Texarkana.
Maud, look them up. And you just got to sell
Remember
us on
that 1 year they had the Maud squad where they had like three Division I recruits in their
they
team?
They did. That was awesome. Anyway, we're going five rounds back and forth selecting games we're most interested in. Then we'll round it out with our hipster game of the week. It is a weird slate of games. It's an odd slate. It's like you really do have to dig into like the ramifications here because like from a top level, if this was any other week, we'd be here be like, ooh, kind of a snoozer week. But because it's week 11, it's saved by having so many implications.
Yes. So I counted it up. There are 21 straight up win or go home games in UIL 11-man football this week. So there's 21 playoff games literally this week. Mm-hmm. They're just not official playoff games, but.
So
if you win, you're playing next week. And if you lose, get the basketballs out.
We had a fake coin flip before the show. Step won the fake coin flip, which means he gets the first pick in the week 11 game draft. Matt Step, what is your first overall pick? A lot of different ways to go.
Yeah, it is. This is an interesting game draft. I'm going to go 7 o'clock Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, by the way, a big Thursday slate.
Yes.
Big Thursday. A lot of coaches move their game up Thursday.
7 o'clock Thursday night at Maverick Stadium in Arlington. The District 8-6A title is on the line as the... Greg Tepper, have you heard the good news about the undefeated South Grand Prairie Warriors?
I have actually read a story in the Dallas Morning News about them.
They are taking on the Arlington Bowie Volunteers in a battle of 6-0 teams in district play.
And somebody's O must go.
That's right, as a great man has once said. And I think this might be the game of the night in the Metroplex Thursday night.
You know, I think
district
so.
Championship, two really good teams going at it. I think two teams who can win a couple of playoff games going at it. And I think SGP preseason, I went back and looked, and I did pick SGP to win the district. And I don't think a lot of people, I think a lot of people took Bowie to win the district. But I liked the experience that Laban DeLay's ball club has. A lot of 3-year starters. They've got great quarterback in Daylon Brooks, who's also an excellent baseball prospect as well, leading that offense. Last week, but it's the defense that's been underrated. They come up with a lot of turnovers, and they took on a tricky Haltom squad last week. Held them to 6 points. And Haltom's got a really good running back. If you haven't heard the good news about Vedrico Robinson, you need to take a look at Vedrico. He can go. SGP held him in check, and Daylon Brooks throws for 248 yards and 3 scores, 30-6, convincing win for the Warriors to set up this matchup. Lamar, on the other hand, had a little bit of trouble with Lamar. I mean, Bowie had a little bit of trouble with Lamar last week. Lamar is playing good football, and they jumped out to an early lead on Bowie last week. And they needed Deontay Tennyson's touchdown catch from Jaden Bibbs with about 5 minutes left in the game to get them the win, 45-38. But they had to rout. Joe Sam's ball club had to rally for a win. The offense, though, Denzel Ponder at running back, 188 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, Jaden Bibbs has come along at quarterback. This is a young Bowie offense that has grown as the season has progressed. They're playing their best football at the right time. I think this is a shootout. I expect this to be pointsy, but I like SGP's defense here.
Yeah,
I think the Warriors finished the regular season at 9-0. They did have a game that got rained out.
Timber Creek.
They got wore on weathered in week two, but 9-0 going into the playoffs and sets up potentially a juicy first round matchup. Now here's the thing: this game has no bearing on playoff seeding.
No, they're already
SGP is locked in at the D1-1. Bowie's locked in as a D2-1. This is strictly for bragging rights in the district title. I do think both teams are going to go all out. Bowie got them last year. I was at the game. This year, I think SGP gets them.
Yeah. By the way, they're looking for their first undefeated regular season ever.
Yeah.
Is South Grand Prairie. They've been playing football since 1969.
Nice.
And they have never finished a regular season undefeated. So
they've had some good teams at SGP.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've been in the semifinal. I mean, BJ Johnson was there.
Mm-hmm. That 99 team.
Yeah, they've had some good squads.
They're really, really good. But this has a chance to do something they've never done. Big, big game there, South Grand Prairie and Arlington Bowie. My first pick, Matthew, 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Panther Stadium in Liberty Hill.
Ah, yes.
It is a District 11-5A Division II championship game. Bye, Brooke.
Bye, Brooke.
Bye, Brooke.
She's
waving at us.
What finger is... Oh, my God. Oh, that is a crude gesture.
I cannot believe that she did that.
Disgusting. Ugh. Anyway.
I believe you, Brooke.
It is the Liberty Hill Panthers at 7-2.
We're so fired.
Taking on... Her mic is on. Oh, she's coming to defend her honor on the air?
Come say it into the mic.
Come defend your honor.
And here comes our chief content officer.
She's making her tep and step debut.
Yeah.
The gesture was a peace sign.
Mm-hmm.
Let the record state.
Okay, that's fine.
Peaceful love, respect, and kindness for my fellow coworkers.
There you go.
Wow. We love you, Brooke.
And I hope Debbie in Temple is listening.
Oh, my God.
Debbie is an avid tep and step.
She is.
Debbie is avid tep and step.
7:30 p.m.
Bye,
Friday
Brooke.
Night at Panther Stadium in Liberty Hill. It is the 7-2 Liberty Hill Panthers taking on the 9-0.
That's right.
Bastrop Bears.
Speaking of good news, the Bastrop Bears, lots of good news.
Gotta tell you, Maximum Bears is already taken, but you may be shifting in it because they fit all the
Overdrive Bears.
The number one scoring offense in 5A Division II.
They're averaging like 62 a game?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They are serious business.
Jake Griedel, head coach, and Weston Nielsen dialing it up.
So Weston Nielsen is the star, and he's awesome. 37 passing touchdowns. He's a dog. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. My guy, they have a 1,000-yard rusher, too.
Really?
Gary Jefferson Jr. went over the 1,000-yard mark last week. They are dominant offensively. Yes. They are spectacular.
They've been, as Mike Roach would say, they've been a wagon.
They have been wagon-ish, for sure. Well, they have an opportunity to win a district championship. Mm-hmm. They have an opportunity to finish their first undefeated regular season since 1991.
Okay.
But to do it, they got to go on the road and play Liberty Hill. Mm-hmm.
Who they beat last year.
Now, Liberty Hill started the year 0-2. And I remember sitting on this desk and being like, time to worry about Liberty Hill.
The new school's hurting them.
It's already hurting them. It's gonna be... All they've done is rattle off 7 straight. Mm-hmm. And they run the slot T.
No.
And the slot T is...
The devil.
It's the devil. Dylan Belinga, Preston Benefield.
When we go to V&A for that, we need to have like some special effects and have like devil horns above her head or something. Like, you know, we need to have...
That'd be great.
Yeah. You need to have a V&A. Put devil horns on yourself.
And I do think that the defense has gotten gradually better. And this, to me, this is a referendum on both defenses. Mm-hmm. Because it's a unique challenge for both defenses.
Yes.
Can Bastrop diagnose and slow down the slot T? Mm-hmm.
Tika Holler.
Yep, Tika Holla, who has been terrific. He's big defensive tackle.
He's a large child.
And how far has Liberty Hill come defensively? Since the first 2 weeks were ugly for them.
Yes.
How far have they come? Well, this is final exam time.
They've got a dog on defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
Alistair Vallejo. He's got some big time offers.
They've got two. This is like it's strangely in this 5A Division II game, an awesome defensive tackle matchup.
Yeah.
Strangely. I lean towards Bastrop. I think that the offense... I think, first of all, you mentioned they beat them last year, so they're not afraid of the slot team.
No.
They've seen it. And furthermore, I just think that offense is hard to slow down. I will say this. As far as playoff stakes are concerned, obviously winner's first seed, loser's second seed. Mm-hmm. Loser of this game gets put on the Randall side of the bracket in Region 3. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you would see them Thanksgiving weekend. And by the way, that you might also see... I had this pulled up. You might also see the loser of this game might see Waco U in the second round of the playoffs.
It's a tough matchup.
So you can get put on a dirty side of the bracket if you lose this game.
Yeah. Well, actually, the loser gets Randall. And the winner,
Iowa Colony. Mm-hmm. But like still, I would say win this game if you are Bastrop or Liberty Hill. But it's a fun matchup. Interesting style clash and a district title on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your second pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at the Star.
The Star.
The Star.
It's second place on the line in 7-4A Division One. Two state-ranked teams playing for second place because 7-4A Division One is a ridiculous district.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 8-1 Sulphur Springs Wildcats coming to Frisco to take on the 8-1 Frisco Panther Creek Panthers.
Big game. You're a Sulphur Springs fan.
I do like Sulphur Springs a lot. And Sulphur Springs is adjusting to life without Deuce Timmons. No word yet on his potential return to the Sulphur Springs lineup. But so far, so good without him. After this signing game, they figured some things out. And last week, sorry, V&A, they officially eliminated your late Dallas Falcons.
I knew it.
38-14.
I knew it was going to happen.
This was a close game for most of the first half. Sulphur Springs led 14-7. And the Sulphur Springs defense comes up with two interceptions in the final minute and a half of the second quarter. They get a pick six. Gio Ibarra returns an interception for a touchdown. They get a second interception and kick a field goal right before halftime. And it's ball game. It's 24-7. Mm-hmm. Sulphur Springs is not giving up that lead at that point. Jackson Hare, two touchdown catches and a touchdown run. He is literally the Christian McCaffrey of Texas high school football. He's fantastic. The quarterback, Mason Cooper, continues to develop. Three touchdown passes for Sulphur Springs. They've got my guy, Truth Holmes, there at tackle. The UTEP commit. They've got Vincent Johnson, the monster offensive lineman, a TCU commit. This is a really, really good Sulphur Springs ball. There's some croots in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Panther Creek.
Speaking of crooting,
they beat Aubrey 52-7 last week. No notes. Graylin Fry, 352 yards and 5 touchdowns.
He's been great.
He has.
Like, he's overshadowed, I think, in a lot of ways because of the other star power they've got on the team. But,
speaking of star power, yeah. Jalen Lott, the Oregon commit, 3 touchdown catches. Parker Ord, the BYU commit, 1 touchdown catch. Donovan Webb, the Texas Tech commit, caught a touchdown. Just skill talent for days for the Panther Creek Panthers. They're a matchup problem for Sulphur Springs, I think. Because Sulphur Springs, if there is a chink in the armor, so to speak, I think it would be in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to have a questionable secondary going up against Panther Creek's offense. I think Sulphur Springs without Timmons is not going to be explosive enough to keep up, and I don't think they're going to be able to keep the ball, play keep away long enough from Panther Creek. I think Panther Creek gets the win. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if these two teams played again Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The way the bracket will break.
Because it'll be a 2-3.
I would not be surprised in the least if these two are playing each other Thanksgiving weekend, and then maybe, you know, 10.
Who's going to be fourth in that district?
Paris. Paris and Chapel Hill, buddy, are the two best fourth place
buddy,
teams.
Buddy, let me tell you something.
Paris is a good football
team. It's been, like, we talk about this. They're, like, you want to talk about a district that could sweep their way to
the
regional semis? Yeah.
They did. They didn't get to the regional semis because Alvarado, mm-hmm. I think Vina, you were at that game last year. Alvarado beat Panther Creek in the second round in a classic game.
Mm-hmm.
But Sulphur Springs, Aubrey, and Salina all, obviously, you know, made the third round in Salina. You know,
I need to go to at least one game.
We need
What a broad statement. You should. Yeah, yes, you should. I agree. You should go to a high school football game.
I need to at least go one game.
Yeah. So I like Panther Creek by 2 touchdowns.
I like Panther Creek as well. Maybe closer than that, but I do like Panther Creek. It's a fun game. At the Star.
The Star.
My second pick, Matthew, 7 o'clock, a place that's near and dear to our heart, 7 o'clock Friday night at Cookin Field in Hamilton, America.
Yes.
That's right. We're back. It is a
official team of Tep and Step.
District 5-2A Division 1 title game as the Dillion Bearcats visit the mighty Hamilton Bulldogs.
The official. Are they still the official?
Oh, yeah.
Team of okay. Right.
They are.
Do they have a banner yet?
Not yet. We can fix that. And this is the latest episode of How Region 2 Turns.
We need that up at Hamilton, at Cookin Field. They need to just, we need to get that on.
What field?
Cookin Field.
Cookin
Field?
Cookin Field.
Yeah, K-O-O-K-E-N.
Beautiful stadium.
Yes.
Right downtown. Lovely. Really nice. Yeah. Right in a neighborhood. Anyway, it's a new episode of How Region 2 Turns.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of this obviously wins District 5-2A Division 1. But more than that, I would say that the winner of this game can be elevated into I think they are at least in the Region 2 conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Winner of this game. Arguably the loser, too. Because, like, I mean, Frankston probably the favorite right now.
Yeah, I would say Frankston is the non-betting favorite.
Yes. You know? But they would be the favorite. But, like, yes. Certainly the winner of this game is going to be set up to be in the mix.
Yes.
Hamilton's had an up and down year by their standards, at least their recent standards, 7-2. And the issue for them...
It's because we didn't go to the game.
I think it's part of it. The issue for them has been kind of what we diagnosed it as, which is that offense graduated pretty heavy.
Yes.
And the offense has been...
fits and starts.
Yeah, there have been times they look great, and there have been times they haven't been able to get out of their own way. The defense has not been an issue. That defense is now another outstanding defense, 9 points allowed per game. Halston Hale leads the way on that defense. They are terrific. If you are a fan of good-on-good football, this is good-on-good.
Yes.
Because this is the Hamilton defense, which has been great, against the Dillion offense, which is, they will have the most dynamic player in this game. Heston Job, their quarterback, is awesome. He's really fun to watch. He is their most dynamic weapon. And then they also run it well. They got a sophomore running back, Lane Couch, who has run the ball well as well. That, to me, is like just fun football. Mm-hmm. We've got our best unit, which is the defense for Hamilton, against your best unit, which is the offense for Dillion. Let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. I do think the other side, though, I think Dillion's defense may have the edge over the Hamilton offense, which has, again, been hard, inconsistent. That's why I like Dillion in this one. I think that they're I would install them as a small favorite in this game, but fun matchup in a wild and woolly and unpredictable region too. And the winner of this game is going to feel really good headed into the playoffs, feeling like we can both. There's not some world beater in Region 2. Why not us? And so I'm very interested in this matchup. I like Dillion in a close one.
All right.
That's my second pick. What is there? You go. Yeah, we've been there.
We've been there.
Wow.
We've stood at midfield.
That's wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's actually appeared on Texas Football Tonight, that show. That stadium.
Really?
It has because we at the beginning intro, Matt Stepp got the shot of the Frost players walking out the midfield.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Matt Stepp, what is your third pick?
Thursday night, 7 o'clock at Dick Bivens Stadium in Amarillo.
Is that a small stadium?
No, it's pretty big.
Okay.
It's a big stadium. As the Abilene Cooper Cougars at 6-3 and 4-1 in district play visit those Paladuro Dons,
oh,
the official team of V&A Marino,
swagged out Dons,
and Brooke Miller. She loves it too.
Listen, the swag is real at Paladuro. They are cooking with Crisco right now. 8-1, 5-0 on the year. And folks, this game is for the district championship and the number one seed in 2-5A Division II. Now, the good thing is the loser does not have to go to El Paso.
Correct.
They don't have to make their long road trip. They will be at home. It's just a matter of seeding and pride here. Cooper, fresh off a bye week, that's a long road trip to Amarillo. Speaking of long road trips, Abilene to Amarillo is a haul, 5+ hours, one way. And last outing, they knocked off Wichita Falls Legacy, 54-23. Peyton Ewing, Marquell Sims, great game running. Abilene Cooper will run the dang ball.
They sure will.
They are the official team of run the ball guy.
Mm-hmm.
They will get after you and run the ball. They had +3 in the turnover margin. They got out to a 22-0 lead and basically just kind of cruised from there in the win over an improved Wichita Falls
league.
Greg Davis has done a really nice job in his first year there at Legacy. They're not I think they're officially eliminated from the playoffs, but they have a chance to spoil someone's party Friday night. Someone named Wichita Falls Memorial in a big game there in Wichita Falls, but I probably won't talk about it except for right here. Paladuro played Legacy last week. And similarly dominant, 48-14. And Julian Deuceries continues to have a monster season for the Dons. 226 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He ran for 2 touchdowns. All 3 of his scoring passes went to Darian Lewis, the North Carolina. Darian Lewis is one of these state's most versatile players. He can play running back. He can play receiver. He can play linebacker. He can play safety. He's a all-state wrestler. The dude does it all for Paladuro. But they've got a lot of other playmakers on this Paladuro offense, and they just have found ways to win games. And this has been kind of one of those magical seasons for Paladuro. And we kind of saw it this kind of brewing this summer in 7-on-7, that they were just there was something special that Eric Mims was building there on the north side of Amarillo. I think we get a little bit of a coronation here at Big Dick Bivens Stadium. I almost said something inappropriate. But I think this is the coronation for the Paladuro. You know, I'm not a professional.
What are you talking about?
This is a coronation. There's going to be a big crowd, I think, on hand for this game. Listen, Amarillo.
Look at that.
North Amarillo especially. Get out here and support the Dons. This is a really good football team. This is a team that has a chance to make a lot of noise in the playoffs. I like Paladuro. Long road trip for Cooper, a little bit too much, but I do think Abilene Cooper gets that home playoff game and makes a little noise. But
nice.
I like the Dons to go 9 in a row going into the postseason.
That's an excellent pick. That's a big game there at Dick Bivens Stadium.
Dick Bivens. I like that name.
It's a nice stadium.
It's a really nice stadium. In fact, such a nice stadium, Matt Stepp, that my third pick, 7 o'clock Friday night at Dick Bivens Stadium in Amarillo.
Back to back.
Pow, pow, pow. Folks, it's Hell Week.
No.
In Amarillo.
It is Hell Week.
As the Tascosa Rebels take on the Amarillo Golden Sandstorm.
Oh. I prefer the Sandy nomenclature.
Yes. In
I need to ask someone from Amarillo. Do you prefer Sandies or Golden Sandstorm?
I love the Golden Sandstorm. Like, this is me as a neutral. I love the Golden Sandstorm because it's so unique.
It is.
So unique. There's other Sandies.
There's a couple of other Sandies.
Grapeland's a Sandies.
Yeah. Maybe just be two.
Okay. Anyway, all that's to say.
Amarillo people. Greg.Tepper@DaveCampbells.com.
This is a great rivalry game.
It is.
They call it Hell Week in Amarillo. Okay? There will be some chirping. There will be some pranking.
Chirping, pranking.
Going on in Amarillo this week.
And then some footballing.
And we'll talk about the game, and then we're going to get to the enormous stakes. Okay? Because the game's fun. Amarillo looking good. Jet Lopez, their quarterback, I think has really been strong for them. Through 7 touchdown passes last week.
7 touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Last week, yeah.
Tascosa, perhaps you know this, they run the dang ball.
They run the flex bone.
They run it well. Reese Cabe was fantastic. He ran for 3 touchdowns on 5 carries in their win last week over Cat.
That is a Ken Plunk football game right there. 5 carries, 89 yards, 3 touchdowns.
And the Tascosa defense has got a guy named Crush Johnson. Who is?
No notes.
He's
Crush.
It's a big defensive line week.
Crush.
Crush with a K.
Crush with a K.
Johnson.
Texas Tech coming out. It's been fantastic. Okay. So, to me, this is going to be about, can the Amarillo offense find consistency against the Tascosa defense? I think the Tascosa defense is superior to the Amarillo defense.
Agree.
That's where I'm at. But the offense is, you could say, in very different ways, are a bit of a wash. You know what I mean? Both very good. Now, let's talk about what it means.
The stakes.
Because the winner of this game will finish 2nd in District 2 5A Division 1.
Behind Abilene High.
Behind Abilene High, who's clinched a district.
They're idle this week. Their season is over. Regular season's over.
The loser of this game will finish 3rd. They're in the playoffs. Both teams are in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Great news. What's the bad news?
The bad news is that the loser of this game plays their first round playoff game in El Paso.
That's just down the street, right, Tepper?
That is, in fact, not across the street, Matthew. This reporter can confirm it is far away.
7 hours.
7-hour road trip.
One way.
For the loser.
Wow.
One way.
So a lot on the line in this one. I would take it under advisement to win this game. That's what I'm just going to go out and...
Strong recommendation.
But this is going to be a wild crowd out there at Big Dick Vivens Stadium.
Always a big crowd for this game.
It will be a lot of fun. Hell Week is a terrific... And the fact that there are stakes... This is a fun game in a vacuum. The fact that it's got these stakes make it even more. But I like Tascosa in a close one. Mm. But you can't throw out the record books in this one. This is a fun matchup. Amarillo. Yeah. Just go to Dick Pippen Stadium and just stay there like the whole weekend. I don't think they have a Saturday game, but
yeah, you should. So yeah, if you stay in Texas, it's 7 hours and 8 minutes one way.
If you stay in Texas.
Well, because I think there's like some rules like with school districts where like the insurance doesn't cover them. If you go through New Mexico, it's actually a little bit quicker, but I think most of the time they go through. Anyway, 7 hours.
Down south to like Plains.
Yeah, it's like 7 hours and 450 miles. It's a hell of a
Don't lose this game. My suggestion would be don't lose this game.
Strong suggestion there.
What's your fourth pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock, Friday night. I think this is a Tep and Step first. We don't think we're going to talk about this team. 7 o'clock Friday night at Norris Birdwell Stadium in Canton, Texas. They're not just known for first Monday trade day.
I was going to say, we going flea marketing?
Hell no. We're going footballing as the 8-1 Sunnyvale Raiders come to town to take on Have you heard the good news of the 9-0 Canton Eagles? The folks at the Dairy Palace are buzzing about this football team, Tepper. Okay,
and let me tell you something, guys.
By the way, shout out to the Dairy Palace.
So to give you a little bit of context, Canton, I want to say this in a nice way. Canton is almost never good.
The last time they were really good was, I think there was a guy named G.J. Kinney who was their quarterback.
Yeah, back in 2005, they were really good. They had another 10-win season in 2010. But they're just kind of bombing along. They'll make the playoffs on you.
They'll go 6-5 on you.
6-5. But like,
Heath Regal has done a fantastic job.
They haven't had an undefeated regular season since 1964.
Wow. LBJ was president. That's a long time ago.
It's been a minute, but yeah. Canton might have the juice.
No one in East Texas, and Canton is kind of in that weird, they're East Texas, but they're like the western fringe. Mm-hmm. And if I can get Gabe Brooks on here to tell us about East Texas geography, they're basically like...
He would tell us Canton is not East Texas.
Well, he would say they are, but like just they are the westernmost edge. And like they're really, you know, it's like, I think Highway 19 or something. Mm-hmm. Gabe, just text me. But anyway... They don't get talked about a lot.
No.
Like, no one's talking about this because they're too far east.
They're kind of in a media market dead
zone. Tyler covers them, but not real hard until later on, and DFW doesn't cover them. They're a good football team, and they're averaging over 51 points a game. And we thought, if you look at their preseason projections, they lost a huge senior class. This is a young football team. So what I'm saying is, next year, we may be talking a lot more about the Canton Eagles. Mm-hmm. So this is a team that's going to be around for a couple of years. Court Ray leads that offense. And then you got Sunnyvale. 8-1 in the year, state ranked. Their one loss came to Texarkana Pleasant Grove in a game that they played well in. And they beat Wills Point last week, 62-7. Kaysen Maupin, their quarterback, is an absolute flamethrower for Sunnyvale. He's put up huge numbers. The Sunnyvale defense started out a little bit slow in district play. They gave a 30 spot to Ferris, which, you know, that was a little concerning early. Mm-hmm. But they've gotten it together. They're playing good football, and you got to think they come into the game as a favorite. Now Canton, before last week's 35-10 win over, you know, last week Canton and Quinlan Ford was like 7-1, and Canton was 8-0 going into that game. Quinlan Ford's also having a great year. Canton beat him 35-10.
What's going on in that part of the world?
Just good football.
Yeah, good footballing.
Here's the thing, though. Before that game, Canton's schedule probably leaves a little bit to be desired. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a win over a team with a winning record until last week against Quinlan Ford.
Correct.
Sunnyvale has gone through a little bit more of a gauntlet. They played a tougher non-district schedule. And to be frank, Sunnyvale's a team that went to the third round of the playoffs. They beat Gilmer last year. This is a veteran, experienced football team. This is really this group of Canton Eagles' first big, big football game. I think the stage right now might be a little bit too big, even though it does help they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
I like Sunnyvale in this one. I think the passing game will be a real problem for the Canton secondary. But I'm interested to see if Canton keeps this competitive. We might want to start talking about Canton being kind of a team to keep an eye on there in Region 2 come playoff time.
Okay. I'm
measuring. Stadium.
There you go. Yeah, beautiful.
There's Norris beautiful. Birdwell Stadium. That's our new bit. V&A is just going to start pulling up pictures of stadiums.
That's great.
Because I want to see it.
I think you know that I am nothing if not an absolute panhandle snob.
Oh.
You know me.
I have come to know you as a panhandle snob.
7:00 Friday night at Wildcat Stadium in Canadian.
Another beautiful stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yes. Canadian is a beautiful, underrated, pretty town.
Yeah, very, very pretty. As the Canadian Wildcats welcome in the Childers Bobcats with the District 1-3A Division 2 title on the line. Hey, remember Canadian?
Yeah, I do.
I think that, like, I don't know how this happens. Is this the team we take the most for granted in Texas high school football?
We just kind of expect them to be 10-0, 9-1.
But like, I want you to think about this. Like, we're just like, oh, well, I mean, last year, of course, what a disaster for Canadian.
I lost in the regional final.
Lost in the regional final. And this year, boy, really up and down at 8-1 with their one loss on the year on the road at Shallow Water.
Yeah.
Who's like just outside the 3-81 rankings. Yeah. Even at 6-3. Mm-hmm. It's a very good team.
They're consistently excellent.
But like somehow that relegates them to like under the radar status. It's like, oh, watch out for those sleepers from Canadian.
Yeah, hipster, am I really?
Well,
twirl my mustache here.
I will say that part of it is that we had big questions about quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Weston Mitchell, their sophomore,
he's been great.
Each and every week, he's just a little better. And he is blooming right now. We knew they're going to run the ball well with Slayton Dickinson.
Yes.
But like, they have figured out the offense, right? Mm-hmm. Well, here comes Childress. And they've got their own sophomore, Lucian Davis, their running back.
He's been really good.
He's been so good for them. He's really blossomed there in that offense. And to me, this is an awesome opportunity to get a heat check on both of these defenses heading into the playoffs. Yes, you want to win your district. Mm-hmm. You want to win your district. And I think the loser of this game sees Wall in the third round. So
suboptimal.
Like, don't lose this game. However, this is also, I think, an opportunity to get a heat check on both defenses. Because both these offenses can hum. That's a... Even though they're district bunkmates, that is a long trip from Childress to Canadian. Mm-hmm. Canadian is notoriously very hard to beat at home, and their defense, I think, tends to stand up on at home. I like Canadian in a close one, but a fun matchup for a district title.
Yeah,
and
these two have played some really good games.
And again, Canadian's going to show up at like 9-1 in the playoffs, and they're going to be like, "Hey guys,
you guys, we're here." By the way, little snapshot day intel here. Don't be surprised if Canadian drops to 2A Division 1.
Ooh. Just saying. They used to be 2A D1. I watched them win a title in 2A D1.
Beat Refugio.
Beat Refugio like a drum.
Yeah, and they traveled to Houston.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, look at that state. That's a
Canadian's
great
great pictures.
Yeah.
Thanks, Texas Bob. Thanks,
Texas Bob. Yeah.
What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew? Your final regular season pick of the 2025 season?
7 o'clock Friday night. At Galena Park ISD Stadium, live on Texan Live. It is the 8-1 Summer Creek Bulldogs taking on the 8-1 North Shore Mustangs. And for Summer Creek, they can take home a share of the district championship with a win this week. North Shore looking for 9 straight wins and another undisputed district championship. And for Summer Creek, they ended Kingwood's playoff hopes last week with a dominant 51-17 win. Maybe their best performance of the year last week. Mm-hmm. That score line is probably a little bit flattering for Kingwood. It was, I think, 51-3 in the third quarter. I mean, Summer Creek kind of pulled their starters. 5 different Bulldogs found the end zone in this football game. Noah Spinks throws 3 touchdown passes. Trenton Thomas has a punt return for a touchdown, and he caught a touchdown pass. And Summer Creek's defense, I think, which has struggled at times this year. We know Summer Creek is going to score points. They have, you know, that offense is really, really Braylon Causey, Benny Easter, Noah Spinks, Trenton Thomas, the list, Holden Miller. They've got playmakers for days. It's the defense that has the question marks going into the year, and they've had some struggles. They played their best game of the year last week, holding, again, Kingwood to 3 points in 3 quarters before they got a couple of scores against the backups. That's what you want going into the playoffs if you're Kenny Harrison, okay? You got North Shore. We talked about their big win over CE King last week, 42-27. North Shore gets off to a blazing hot start. They jump out to a 21-0 lead. Hezekiah Johnson has a couple of touchdown runs. And then when CE King made the run to cut it to a touchdown, they blocked the punt, made it 28-20. And you're thinking, okay, get a little lemon booty here. Like, what's going on here? Is North Shore going to blow this one? North Shore, Caleb Maryland says, nope. About to lead us to victory.
Don't you worry about this.
I got this, little fellas. Buddy. He throws for a touchdown, had a touchdown run. And the defense, in big moments, came up with big plays. And technically, they held CE King to 3 touchdowns, which they scored 27, but one of the touchdowns was on a punt block. That's pretty good. CE King's offense is unbelievable. To hold CE King to 3 scores is outstanding work by the North Shore defense. This is a team that is rounding into state championship form late in the year. Typically, North Shore, you know, they do such a good job over there. They're kind of a finished product early, you know, especially last year. They were kind of operating at top level last year early on. This is a different North Shore team, and they're young, but they've gotten better every weekend, and they're peaking at the right time. North Shore is built to slow down teams like Summer Creek, And I think North Shore gets the win, 10 points, 10 to 12 points. North Shore wins this one, goes into the playoffs at 9-1. And, you know, I'm a big Ridge Point guy. I've picked Ridge Point to win
you
the region.
You are a Ridge Point guy.
Picked them to win the region in preseason. Still feel like they're going to be a contender. Folks, we're looking at a potential Ridge Point North Shore area round playoff game.
Whoa.
That's how good 6A Division One Region Three is. There's going to be a really, really good football team that goes home before Thanksgiving. North Shore gets the win here, and I'm already just ready for just the chaos in 6A Division One Region Three.
I agree. I like North Shore in this one, but Summer Creek can give them trouble. Like their
offense is really good.
Problematic for sure. My fifth and final pick, Matthew.
Oh, there's a stadium. Wait.
Okay. We'll check out the stadium here.
Galena Park? I've been there. It's a nice stadium.
It's a beautiful stadium. Let me make sure I get this.
It's a good wing spot by there. Bonfire Wings.
Really?
Yeah. What a weird thing to say.
Chicken
Bonfire
Wings.
That's not weird.
Bonfire Wings. Yeah.
Matt Stepp, 7 o'clock Thursday night.
Another good Thursday game.
At Lyon Memorial Stadium in Ennis.
Ah, yes. Ellis County.
The house that Sam Harrell built.
Yes, literally.
It is.
I went to their old stadium. I'm glad Sam Harrell built that stadium.
The 5-4 Ennis Lions welcoming in the 5-4 Corsicana Tigers in an old rivalry.
I tweeted about this morning. It is so good to see Corsicana and Ennis playing a football game that means something, because when I was growing up, Corsicana Ennis was one of the state's marquee games. These are two proud towns and two proud football teams that have produced some big time talent.
They first played in 1909 when Corsicana took home an 11-5 victory over Ennis.
Ennis's pitching really struggled that night.
Who really? Yeah, I mean, they kept leafing to the gaps. And now Ennis has won 10 straight in this series. Mm-hmm. They've dominated this series of late.
Yes.
And there are, we can talk about these two teams here briefly. Corsicana has got some playmakers that they feel good about, including Mark Brown, the North Texas commit.
Yeah.
He is a dynamo. They're going to move him around and just get him the ball.
Yeah.
They're going to Cam Newton him. They're like, they'll just get him the ball. Just build the whole play now on Mark Brown.
Good strategy.
Okay? Right. Ennis is leaning a lot on their running game when Darius Brown, their running back who's been so good for them, which is strange to say because it's Ennis, but like, yes, they are running the dang ball. Mm-hmm. They're very good. Okay. So, fun matchup on paper.
Rivalry game.
At home, Ennis is probably your favorite.
Correct.
Okay. Now, why this game is so fun.
Okay.
Ennis is in the playoffs. They've clinched a playoff spot. They're in. I think there may be a potential that seeding gets cattywampus. Maybe.
I think so.
I think there's a couple of games.
No, I think this game.
Yeah,
If this game goes a certain way, I think they could drop to the 4 seed.
Yes. So they want to win this game.
Yes.
But more importantly, if Ennis wins this game, they end Corsicana's season.
Correct.
Corsicana needs to win and get a little bit of help.
They need to win by 9.
Need to win by 9 points.
So they're down 9-0. If you're a Corsicana fan, just think of it. You're down 9-0.
You're down 9-0. Yeah. A 27-20 win is the same as a loss.
Correct.
Okay? So Corsicana, let me tell you about the way this game is going to be coached. This game is going to be coached like their hair is on fire.
This is going to be coached like you're down, you know, fourth quarter, down 10, going forward on fourth down.
Pushing.
Might be some two-point conversions, could be some onside kicks.
Eugene Rogers is going to...
He's going to empty the bag.
Empty the bag. Yeah. Everything Corsicana's got, you are going to see in this game.
They need to win by 9.
You're going to see trick plays. You're going to see wild, wild stuff in this game. And for Ennis, any win is good for them.
Sure.
Any win works.
Any win. Here's the key for Ennis. You don't want to lose by 9 because you don't want to play South Oak Cliff in the first round.
Correct. Yeah. So this
Do not recommend.
There's a lot
it's the
going
first time
on.
We've mentioned South Oak Cliff since week 3.
There will be a great crowd here. Great crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And tons of stakes. And for Ennis, like, yes, they want to win the game because they want to make sure they want to win the football game and they want to finish
beat their rivals.
Beat their rivals.
Yeah.
But more importantly, they want to end Corsicana's season. That would be extra sweet for them.
Sure.
So a ton on the line. It's a fun, this is like a fun week 11 environment.
Crandall is watching this game very closely as well, because they were the team that if Ennis wins, if Corsicana wins by 9 or more, Crandall will be eliminated.
Yes.
So that's the other kind of, you know, thing that's going on. This is week 11. Listen, my advice, if you are a radio announcer for a school or a web announcer, brush up on your tiebreaker.
Call the coaches right now.
We don't want to have what happened last year when Pasadena Dobie was playing Manville, and they're up 14, and they needed to win by 17, and the Dobie announcers are like, why are they throwing the ball?
They were throwing in the end zone.
That is so classless of those guys to run it up. No, they need to win. They threw a Hail Mary to win the game.
Anyway, there it is, your week 11 game.
I love that game. If I wasn't going to my game Thursday, that Ennis and Corsicana was my number two.
It's going to be a fun matchup. Step took South Grand Prairie, Arlington Bowie, Sulphur Springs, Frisco Panther Creek, Abilene Cooper, and Amarillo Paladuro, Canton and Sunnyvale, and Galena Park North Shore and Humble Summer Creek. I took Bastrop and Liberty Hill, Dillion and Hamilton, Amarillo and Amarillo Tascosa, Canadian and Childress, and Corsicana and Ennis. Big West Texas panhandle.
A lot of good games in the panhandle this week, and again, it's a little bit of a weird week of games just because there's a lot of games that just don't have anything on the line. But
ton of Thursday games. Huge Thursday slate. Mm-hmm. Very small Saturday slate. In fact, because we're putting together brackets will come out after the bracket reveal show, 10:30 p.m. wherever you're watching the show right now on Friday.
10:30 Saturday night.
All of our platforms, 10:30 p.m., we'll be revealing the brackets. So probably about midnight, we'll have the brackets up on TexasFootball.com. We'll be putting together
TexasFootball.com/playoffs.
There you go. We'll be putting together all the brackets. We'll have those up for you.
Don't let my work go in vain.
But we have basically, there's two Saturday night games that could have implications.
Killing us.
It's like Houston Wheatley and Houston Cashmere, I think it is.
6 o'clock.
And it's like San Antonio Edison and San Antonio
Jefferson. It's the Tommy Bowl.
Yeah.
You know the Tommy Bowl, V&A?
I am not familiar with it.
They call it the Tommy Bowl because you have Thomas Edison High School versus Thomas Jefferson High School. So it's Tommy Bowl. Great nickname. San Antonio has the best rivalry name.
That's not up for debate. They are absolutely.
RIP to the Chili Bowl.
I know.
What?
They had a rivalry game called the Chili Bowls. Fox Tech and Lanier.
Yeah, but Fox Tech.
But Fox Tech
doesn't play football.
They don't play football anymore. But they had a Chili Bowl.
All right, V&A Moreno, why don't you tell us what
hipster games?
Oh, I'm sorry, we got to do hipster games. Matt Stupp, give me your hipster game of the week, and it's a bunch of good choices.
It is a hipster week. Listen, I said it before. There's 21 games across the state of Texas that are win or go home playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night.
This is hipster week, basically. Yeah.
7 o'clock Thursday night at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, McKinney North in Frisco. The Fighting Carter Yates. They need a win. If they win, they're in. McKinney North, despite the loss. Shout out to Frisco Heritage. Great win for John Fish's ball club over McKinney North last week. Despite that loss, McKinney North can still win and get into the playoffs this week. It is win. You're playing next week. Probably will play in West Mesquite. If you lose, it's basketball season. You want to, if you're in the northern part of the Metroplex Thursday night, you want to go see a football game with stakes, get over to Toyota Stadium. This is the game, McKinney North and Frisco. One of 21 win or go home games in 6A to 2A UIL 11-man football.
I am going to see your win and end game and raise you a win and end game. 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time.
Oh.
8:30 p.m. Central Time at Quarles Brooks Stadium in El Paso.
The west side of El Paso.
It is the El Paso Eastlake
Falcons.
Falcons, thank you. And it was a bird of prey.
It was a bird.
Taking on the El Paso Coronado Thunderbirds.
Oh, the Thunderbirds.
And
hashtag 915 after dark.
And this is a huge, huge game Friday night because it's winning in.
Yeah.
The winner, it's the fourth seed in 1-6A.
Mm-hmm.
And the loser, it's over.
Great quarterback matchup in this game. You got Julian Williams, the quarterback there at Eastlake.
He's been great.
And you got sophomore Wes Stansberry at Coronado, who holds a UCLA offer as a sophomore.
And they have been using him in a variety of different ways, like moving him around. Wes Stansberry, he's their most dynamic playmaker for sure. Just a sophomore. Good youngsters here. There will be points. This is pointsy. Both defenses have had their struggles, but more importantly, They're going to empty the bag. It's like when the NCAA tournament comes around and they have those play-in games. Yeah, this is a play-in game.
Yeah.
Is what this is.
And this has implications for other schools in the district because Pebble Hills is watching this game. Mm-hmm. Because if Coronado wins, Pebble Hills goes into the Division I bracket. And then that game Thursday night between Pebble Hills and Franklin is for the one seed in Division I. Mm-hmm. But if Eastlake wins, Pebble Hills goes to Division II, and they're guaranteed to be the two seed as Eastlake has wrapped up the one seed. So 6A has that unique Division I, Division II thing where a team could flip-flop. So Coronado win would push push Pebble Hills into the Division I bracket.
Yeah, and I will also say that, like, I mean, you probably want to be in the D2 bracket to begin with. I would also say that if you were in the, like, based on the matchups with the Little Southwest Conference, you want to be in the D2 bracket. You want to play San Angelo Central or Wolford Friendship as opposed to Permian or Legacy.
Although Permian's quarterback may be down, so it's kind of want something to watch there.
Okay. Now let's go to V&A Moreno.
What did V&A
and ask
down?
What V&A Moreno wrote down. V&A Moreno.
Hi guys.
Hi.
My pages are lost. Okay, I wrote down Deer Corn.
Deer Corn. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's O must go.
This is the Deer Corn episode, yes.
Deer Corn episode. Somebody's O must go.
Yep.
There will be some tripping and footballing in Amarillo.
And there will, Hell Week.
Mm-hmm. 7-hour trip for the loser.
Yeah. Same thing, Hell Week, yeah.
Yeah.
Steph said, hell no, we're going footballing.
In Canton, yeah. Yes.
We're not going to the flea market. We're going footballing.
Yeah.
And then finally, this game is going to be coached like their hair is on fire.
It's true. Right. Yeah. Of course, Canada is going to empty the bag. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, where are you going in the final week of the regular season?
Keeping it local. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of work to do this weekend. Yes. And a lot of folks are counting on me. So,
busy guy.
Yeah.
We're all counting on you.
I've already gotten text messages from Hudson Standish, Mike Roach, and Ward Fasold asking for brackets.
Honey! Like,
guys, we have another week of football before we get
guys, chill.
Yeah.
Guys, chill.
Yeah.
Leave the DMs alone.
Yeah, stay out of the DMs, fellas. Love you, but Thursday night, I will be at Newsom Stadium for another win-or-go-home game between the Arlington Seguin Cougars and the Mansfield Summit Jaguars. So if Mansfield Summit wins, they are in the playoffs as the 3 seed. It pushes Timberview to the 4 seed. Colleyville Heritage will be the 2 seed. If Summit wins, and Seguin goes home.
Mm-hmm.
If Seguin wins, Summit goes home. Seguin gets the 4 seed. Timberview gets the 2 seed. Colleyville gets the 3 seed.
Mm.
Can you keep up with all that?
I've got it.
Yeah. Try that for every district in the state of Texas. Yeah,
that's the life you're living.
That's I know how to party.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I go. You know, if I was a single man, I'd be like, hey, I know the 12-6A tiebreaker rule.
Hey, girl.
18 points plus or minus. Take the top team out. Go back to head to head. Yeah. Ladies love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it on my wife, and she just told me to get the hell out of her face. So that's Thursday night. And then Friday, I will be at the Avoid Aledo Bowl.
Yes.
As the Saginaw Rough Riders take on the Saginaw Chisholm Trail Rangers. Rough Riders taking on the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
They're in North Fort Worth. The winner gets third place in District 4-5A Division I. And their reward is playing Denton Ryan, which is not much better than playing Aledo.
But you only have to play Denton Ryan. Yeah.
No biggie. So, yeah. But it's a rivalry game. Yep. It's close to my house.
Yes.
And it's Friday night. So that's where I'll be Friday, Chisholm Trail and Saginaw. Looking forward to seeing Coach DeWitt at Saginaw, former Coppell head coach, mm-hmm. and then our good buddy Marvin Nash, the new head coach there at Chisholm Trail.
And then Saturday night.
I'll be right here Saturday night.
Right here at this very desk.
10:30 p.m.
Right here in this
exact chair, I will be here Saturday night.
And for the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight Bracket Reveal Special. Bracket Reveal Special. All 12 UIL Texas High School football playoff brackets revealed live on our air. See who's playing whom and what the Texas High School football playoffs look like in the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight Bracket Reveal Show. Saturday night, 10:30 p.m., wherever you stream. That is going to do it for us. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. V&A Moreno, thank you for spending your ear currency on us.
Thank you.
Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thank you. I'll see you Saturday.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Step.
Bye.